There are a lot of people praying for this meeting right now. I have people in Florida, Chicago, Champaign, Illinois, Roanoke, Virginia. There's a church, Presbyterian church in Roanoke, Virginia. Good friends with the pastor, and there is a pastor, and they're so excited about what's taking place right here, right now. They're praying for us. All these people I'm sharing with you in Franklin, Tennessee, there's a bunch of people in Clarksville praying for us, a whole bunch. So there's not any telling what's going to take place. There's just not any telling what's going to take place with all these people praying for this meeting here today. If you owned all the banks in New York City, if you owned all the oil wells in Texas, if you owned all the Kroger stores, if you own General Motors, you just go get a Cadillac anytime you wanted to. If you owned all that and you died and your name was not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, Revelation chapter 20 says, if your name is not written in the Book of Life, you go to hell. We get so involved with making money and all of our busy activities. I'm scheduled to take a bath next Thursday at 3:15. We're so busy. We just don't know whether we're coming or going with our busyness. And we get so involved in our activities, trying to own all the banks in New York or the oil wells in Texas or whatever, we forget about what's really important. And if our name is not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, it says we go to hell. And it's really, really something. Mark chapter 8, verse 36, it says, and what do you benefit if you gain the whole world and lose your soul? So we can get the largest bank account in 40 states, 40 Cadillacs, all these things. And if we lose our soul, guys, that's terrible. Terrible what goes on. We're going to spend, I think, 2 or 3 days. It depends on if you start throwing rocks at me too hard, we'll just. But maybe 2 or 3 days, there's our class here of sharing and witnessing. If one person, as a result of what we're going to do, if only one person becomes a believer, it'd be worth all of our efforts. It would really be worth all of our efforts. If only one person. But I trust what we do, it will help us all to every day be able to share our faith with somebody easily. I'm in a Bible study with 6 guys, one of them here now, on Thursday morning, and we had a discussion just this past Thursday, and one of the guys in our Bible study said, the hardest thing for me to do is to get started in sharing my faith. Just to get started. She said, I know I need to, really need to, but it's just difficult to get started. So I trust that what we learn and talk about here and the things we do, that each of us would be a part of our life, just be a part of our life in talking about Jesus and how you can become a believer and keep people and get their names in the book of life. If their names are not in the book of life, it's tough stuff, guys. That's not good English, but it's still tough stuff. When we go to hell, it's tough stuff. It's hard. When I burn my hand, it really hurts. It's not a good feeling at all. I just cannot imagine spend eternity in hell. And the scripture tells us that if our names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life, this is where we go. My. What we want to do is tell people great message, the greatest story ever told is the love of Jesus. It's the greatest story ever written, ever been written. It's the greatest, it's so rich. His love, Jesus' love for us. And that's what we want to be able to start off telling people, that God loves them and has a wonderful plan for their life. He really does. Can you imagine what Jesus went through on the cross? I can hardly talk about it. They beat him to a pulp. They had him flogged. They put you, tie a person to a post, leather straps with bones on the end of it, and they start beating them. That a lot of times kills them. And Jesus said, when they came to arrest him, he said, "Guys, I don't know why you're bringing all your tanks and machine guns and jeeps and all these things to just arrest one person." He said, "I could call down 12 legions of angels. That's 72,000 angels, and wipe you dudes off the face of the earth. But it's written that I'm going to go through this because I love all of you." Isn't that something? I can hardly talk about it. How much he loves us. And that's what we want to tell people that are not believers, how much they're loved. It is just the most amazing thing. Franklin Graham, when he has his large crusades, first thing he puts up is huge banners. God loves you. That's his main message. God loves you. It's the greatest story ever been written and ever produced. God loves us. Are we prepared for eternity? Don't gamble with your soul. It's really something. B.C. and A.D. Every time you pick up the newspaper, you think, well, this has nothing to do with Christianity at all. It has everything. You know what's on the front, very front page here? 2024. That was a year Jesus, 2024 years ago, that Jesus was here. It announces his date of birth. The newspapers do. They don't even realize it, I don't think. All of our currencies has a date on it. This dollar bill here, I'm lucky to have one, but it's 2021 stamped on the date on this dollar bill. Each time use a dollar bill, you're telling Jesus' birthday. This 50-cent piece, this was written. This is 1983. It's Jesus' 1983 years ago. Jesus was here on the earth, doing his work. each time you write a check, the first thing you do on the check is put the date. When you pay your plumber the next time he comes or whoever, you write a check. That's the first thing we write on here. Jesus' birthday. And that's a great way to get started into a conversation. Oh, by the way, have you heard, do you know what this date means? Well, it's Jesus' birthday. Did you ever meet him personally? I bet you would sure like to, wouldn't you? And you're there in the middle of a conversation. So we're going to talk about how we can do that easily. Just get into it. Jesus' last instructions to his disciples, Matthew 28, verses 16 through 21, he was just fixing to ascend into heaven, and he was with his disciples right before he was taken up into heaven, and he told them, he said, guys, I want you to get out and tell my message to everybody you come in contact with. Make disciples out of them. I want you, this is your job to do this. Matthew chapter 28, verse 16. Mark 16 tells the same story. Jesus is speaking, and he tells them, guys, I'm fixing to leave here, but I want you to go tell everybody about how much I love them and what I'll do for them. That's your job. That's your disciples' job. It was 11 of the guys at the time. And in Luke chapter 24, verse 49, Jesus promised again, right before he ascended into heaven, he said, guys, I'm fixing to leave, but when I leave, I'm going to send the Holy Spirit, and he's going to fill you with power. The Holy Spirit. We're going to be talking a lot about the Holy Spirit. It's so important in our Christian life. As a believer, the Holy Spirit comes and takes up residence in our life. I can't imagine that. Can you? Can you imagine God walking around in our bodies? That's what's taking place. The Holy Spirit, when he had the Holy Spirit to come. He said, I can't be with you all the time. I got to go to heaven. But I'm going to send somebody with you that will be with you from now on, the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, he said, now I don't want you to leave. I don't want you to start this process talking about me until the Holy Spirit comes. And you're filled. We're going to be talking about being filled a lot with the Holy Spirit. Being filled with God's Holy Spirit. It's the most powerful thing. Powerful thing there is working in our lives. He tells us, we're going to get into it more, but it's just a rich, rich experience. Think about that. God's part of the Godhead is walking around in our bodies. There are three main things, elements, in witnessing. One is prayer. We're going to talk a lot about prayer. Two, the Holy Spirit. We're going to talk a lot about the Holy Spirit. And then three, God's Word, the Bible. Those three thoughts is when we witness, they are all involved. And in Romans 10, verses 14 through 15, it tells us that we need to tell everybody. It's our responsibility to tell everybody. Romans 10, 14 through 15. We need to tell this message about how much God loves us. It's the most amazing story it's ever been written. prayer is the key to the Christian life. Everybody, you all, well, you guys know all that. There's a fellow named Howard Hendricks. He was a professor at the Dallas Theological Seminary in Dallas. He prayed for his daddy 40 years. He prayed for his daddy 40 years. And his daddy became a believer right before he passed away. But Mr. Hendricks prayed for 40 years for his dad. My wife had a friend that used to live in New York, and her friend moved from New York to Clarksville several years ago. Before this, my wife's friend left New York, she witnessed to a person in New York. Last year, is 30 years went by. 30 years went by. My wife's friends got a letter from her friend in New York that she had witnessed to 30 years ago and said, I want to thank you. I'm in church now. I'm doing what the Lord wants me to do. Thank you for sharing with me 30 years ago. If you have people on your heart that are not believers, I'd like for you to start out and make a list, their names. If it's a whole tablet sheet, you depend on how many people that you know, but we need to start praying for our friends, maybe our family. We might have a husband, a wife, or children or something that are not believers. Make you a list. Put it in your billfold. Put it on the mirror in the bathrooms. Put it somewhere where you see these names regularly and start praying for them. Who knows when the Lord will speak to them, and you might have the opportunity to tell them how much Jesus loves them. But make you a list. Again, fix it where you can find it and see it regularly and pray for it. There's a verse in this that really has meant a lot to me. 1 John 1:9. When I was 11 years old, I invited Jesus to come into my heart. 11 years old. Right after that, I made a dumb statement that I should not have made. It was just stupid, dumb, you know. And I did not know how to get rid of that statement, clear it out. We was attending this witnessing school, and they shared 1 John 1:9 with it. And they shared a neat story. I'm going to share it with you. I'm going to make you not happy with me now. This is a milkshake from Chick-fil-A, a peach milkshake. I can't wait to start enjoying it. But it has a great message to it. You start enjoying it, and first thing you know, there's a lump of peach gets in the straw, and it just will not come through. You can suck till your eyeballs pop out, and it just will not come out. You have to get that lump of peach out of the straw before you can really enjoy it. So they're a wonderful thing. That's good stuff, I tell you. Okay, what that lump of peach represents is unconfessed sin in your life. If you have unconfessed sin in your life, it cuts the fellowship out between you and God. I've learned to wash dishes more than since my wife passed away, and I don't like to have dirty dishes stacked up around the sink. So I'm learning to wash dishes. It's really a fun job. But I like for the dishes and knives and forks to be nice and clean, and when I would get ready to eat, I'd just pick one up, and there it is. When we have unconfessed sin in your life, it cuts the fellowship out. I back up to my story. After I became a believer, I made this dumb statement, and I was 31 years of age before somebody shared 1 John 1:9 with me. And they told us to do this. They told us to make a list. First of all, you got to be a believer. And we do things we sin as we go along down the road. We do say some dumb thing like I did or whatever. And it cuts the fellowship out between you and God. They told us to make a list of our sins. And then when we made a list of the sins, write 1 John 1:9 across that whatever we write down. Now you got to be sincere, because God knows your heart. He knows what you're even thinking about before you think about it. So I was so sincere about getting that thing cleared up out of my life. That was at the very first thing that I wrote down, that dumb statement that I made. And then I had some more things I'd written and need to write down to get it cleared out. I was 31 years old at the time. I was 11 when this thing took place, and I was 31 years old now. And they had a garbage can out in the middle of the room, and they said, don't let anybody see your list. You write down your sins, talk to the Lord, write them down, write 1 John 1:9 over it, and thank Him for what He has just done. He's just forgiven you of your sins. You got to be sincere. I was so sincere, I wanted to get rid of that dumb thing that I said. And then they said, tear up the piece of paper and throw it in the garbage can. And I did everything they said. I was so sincere, I wanted to get that cleared up. When I threw that paper in the garbage can, I can't tell you the relief that came over me. That dumb thing that I had said was gone. He had forgiven me, and I haven't had to worry about that stupid thing again. It works, guys. 1 John 1:9, they say, is a Christian bar of soap. Oh boy, time is something else. I would like for us to take a piece of paper, spend the rest of the time You're making a list. You may not have anything that you need to confess. I hope you don't. But if you do, this would be a great time just to write it down. Go through the process. Write 1 John 1:9 across whatever you write down. Thank him that he's going to forgive you, and he will, and he does, because he loves us so very, very much. And then we do not have this thing over our head that has been bothering us. The time is anyway. Spiritual breathing. We'll go on. Spiritual breathing. 1 John 1:9. You get rid of it. Get rid of the 1 John 1:9. Write it down. The peach in the straw. You get rid of that lunk of peach that's in the straw. It's gone. And you have this fellowship with you and God. You don't have anything that's hindering you to do that. And then Ephesians 5:18, it tells us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of scriptures about being filled with the Holy Spirit. He's already in our hearts. But he might not have all of us. But if we confess our sins, get rid of whatever's on our hearts, 1 John 1:9, then ask the Lord to fill us with the Holy Spirit, Ephesians 5:18, and then we can go about loving people by our words, our lifestyle, our prayers, and whatever we comes along. And you don't have to wait 20 years like I did to get rid of that silly, dumb speech, the statement that I made. You can breathe, you can, as you we go through life, we do things that we don't mean to do. We sin. And if we recognize it at the time, just confess it right then on the spot. Say, oh Lord, I need forgiveness of that, whatever that might be. And get rid of it. And then you can ask the Holy Spirit to fill you with his Holy Spirit. You might have to go to a person and make things right. Things you write down. You might have to make a telephone call, write a letter. If there's something out there that you need to get straightened out, you need to straighten it out. Our goal is to have a clean life so that the Lord can use us when we start to sharing our faith. You mentioned something, Cal, a while ago about a number of people in the church that's not believers. Billy Graham said, I don't know whether he is correct or not, but he said that he thought that half of the church members are not believers. I don't know whether that's correct or not. I don't know where he got his information, but he made that statement. So I want us to. I got so much I wanted to say and do. Oh, okay. I want us to be real familiar with the four spiritual laws. It's a little booklet Campus Crusade for Christ wrote in 1951. It's been all over the world. It's been used all over the world. I've known about it for several years myself since I was 31. I'm 32 now, but anyway, we've got a bunch of these little fellows. I want us to pass them around. I want you to take one. I want you to memorize this book if you can. So take one or two and really, really, we're going to go over it some more, but I want you to get real familiar with this book, this little booklet. It has about 14 scripture verses in it, in this little booklet. God's word is what communicates to people we're witnessing to. I can't change anybody's lives. Brother Cal can't change anybody's life, but God's word does it. And there are 14 scripture verses in this little booklet. And when you share it, you are sharing God's word. And God's word in Isaiah chapter 10, verse 55, it says, "My word does not ever come back void." Isaiah 55, verse 11. Anytime God puts his word out, it works. It may not happen today, but it might be down the road. But we are sharing God's word with people. And that's what communicates, that's what changes people's lives, is God's word. Got ahead of myself here. And there's another exercise I'd like for us to do. One of the best ways to witness is to tell your story. Just tell, let me share what happened to me. We have some a guide here about sharing your testimony, how to do it. Before I received Christ, I lived and thought this way. You might have gone to church all your life, but that's good. But you just tell what about your life before you invited Jesus in, how you received Christ. After I received Christ, these changes took place. I want everybody to take one of these little fellows and carry it home with you and work on it. But your own testimony, a lot of times, will mean more than what this little booklet might say. Say, this thing really works. It happened to me. My life was completely changed. And I just want you to have the same lifestyle that I have. But take this and carry it home with you and just start working on it. Next time we meet, we'll talk about it. And maybe some of you can share your testimony and how it turned out. But work on the testimony. Work on this little booklet. Just really become familiar with this little four law booklet. It is a great tool. It leads you. You can just read it through to someone, and it will, if the Holy Spirit's involved in it, they'll become a believer by reading this little booklet. It tells you what takes place, how much God loves you. We've sinned, Jesus died for us, he arose, and it's the whole bit, and tells you, and we'll talk about the little booklet again the next time we're together. And how it's a great tool, but really, really study it. It's really, if do any of you have a special way that you witnessed? Do you might want to share with the group? How you go about witnessing? Yeah. Better and better and better. But then we'll talk about the next time we get together how going into using this and the four spiritual laws and your testimony. Again, that would be a great, great thing to share your testimony. And you can't argue with that. But anyway, what questions do you have? Any? Have any questions?
Oh. Why can I turn in my list of sins now?
Hey, in Clarksville, Montgomery County, there's 244,000 people, somewhere thereabouts, in Montgomery County. 85% of people in Tennessee do not attend church. 85%. That's what the statistics say. That means there's 208,000 people here in Clarksville, Montgomery County, that are not believers or probably not in church. 208,000 right here. So we don't have to take a trip to wherever. It's right here. And then our family. Most families say there's members of our family that we're concerned about, maybe are not believers. Just start praying. This guy in Texas prayed for his dad 40 years before he became a believer. And just think the results of it. It's a scripture here that I want us to read just a second. Let me get this. I can't find it. Anyway, the story was the rich man and the beggar. The story of that. The beggar was laying out by the rich man's gate, begging. And the rich man had everything that he ever could dream of. They both died. The rich man and the beggar, they both died. The rich man woke up in hell, and he could look over and see the beggar across this gulf that they couldn't cross over. He was in Abraham's bosom. He was having a good time. And the rich man said, "Oh, send Lazarus," the beggar's name was Lazarus, "send him over and just let him dip the finger of his finger in water and put it on my tongue, because I'm in these flames and it's rough, tough stuff. It's hell is a reality. And it's not if we have loved ones, friends, if we just stop and think about the results of not being a believer, it just makes you want to stay up all night and do what you have to do to get the message out to people. And they said, they was talking back to one another. One was in hell and one was in heaven. He said, "No, we can't do that." He said, "Well, I have five brothers. Let somebody go back and tell my brothers how rough this place is. Maybe they won't come here." And he said, "No, we can't do that." Have people, loved ones, we need to start praying. Just praying. Pray. Make your list of people that you know that are not believers and start praying for them. And we don't know how long it'll take. The Lord works out in such special ways for you to be hooked up with a person that you're praying for. It's just amazing how things work out, for you just happen to be together. The Lord had it all orchestrated to begin with the first time, all along. What? Everybody says, yeah. Yeah. And here you are with your loved one or whoever you've been praying for. And you can just, let me tell you.
what happened to me. It's the greatest thing that ever happened to me. I'm going to sin, I'm going to go to heaven, and someone on earth can just take the thing off.
To start prayer, 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 prayer is the key. And then the Holy Spirit, ask the Holy Spirit to fill you with the Holy Spirit. There's a bunch of scriptures that talks about being filled with the Holy Spirit. And in God's Word, when we leave God's Word with them, that's what works. That's what works, God's Word. He said it never comes. Isaiah 55, verse 11 said, my word always produces what it's supposed to do. Always. So, read the little booklet. Really get familiar with the booklet. Read it through several times where you can almost memorize it. Work on your testimony and just take your time and do that. The papers. Did I pass the papers out?
Yes.
Yeah. Make a list. Oh, me. I've jumped over that. Make a list of your sins that you need forgiveness for. Just write them out. Don't anybody else see it. It's between you and God. Write 1 John 1:9 across that. And ask him to forgive you, and he does. And then your life will be a special cleansed life that we can just let the Holy Spirit work. It's amazing. And it's just one person becomes a believer as a result of our conversation the next couple of 2 or 3 times. Just think what that one person will miss. Miss going to hell. It's a horrible, horrible thought. It's a horrible thought. And we can become... Jesus called it sowing seeds. His word is sowing seeds. When we go out witnessing, we're just sowing God's word. We're God's seed sower. And some of the seeds just really pay off. I hope I haven't bumfuzzled your mind or whatever, but it's really a great honor to be a soul winner. Just think what we're doing. Just think what we're doing. We're keeping somebody out of hell. That's worth working on, isn't it? Mama, pray about prayer. Pray about this. Pray about you studying a little four law booklet. Study about work on your testimony and then your forgiveness of sin sheet you passed out. It works, guys. It works. It really does. Father, we just come into your throne room, and that's really something to do that, just to come into your throne room, my. Talk to you and ask for your guidance and directions as we talk about sharing your special love with all of our friends who do not know you. We just pray for your Holy Spirit would work as only you can and do day by day by day. And then we can just thank you as results that we're going to see take place. Thank you for loving us. In Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Well, good to be with you guys. We'll do again for another